Good morning to everyone. I imagine that from the reading this morning, from the scriptures, that you all pretty much know what we're going to be talking about today. And let's begin just by asking a simple question. Can sheep survive without a shepherd? Can sheep survive without a shepherd? You know, I personally never practiced being a shepherd. I personally never went out and dealt with sheep and the shearing and all that. And so what I did is I looked that up. My affiliation with sheep is at the petting zoo. So I had to look that up. And when I did that, I searched the internet a little bit and I found out some facts and some articles about the domesticated sheep. And basically the answer is, without a shepherd, no, the sheep cannot survive. And I listened and read a fellow named Steve Waddington. He's a gemologist in Western Australia. And Mr. Waddington, he had this to say. He said that sheep, wild sheep, they can survive without a shepherd, obviously, but domesticated sheep, he said, no way. And he went on and he said this, I spent much time in my teens working on a sheep farm, and I can tell you that the only objective of a sheep is to die. Pretty interesting statement. And usually, he says, it's from their own stupidity. And he went on and he gave some examples for it. He said that there was a mob of sheep, he called it, in a paddock, a pen, and they didn't have any water. And he said he stood there and he observed these sheep standing at a fence, staring at the water on the other side of the fence in the pen next to him. So he said that he went over after a while and he just opened the door, the gate. And you know what he said? He said those sheep stood there and stared and stared and stared at that water, and not one of them turned around and went through that gate to go to the other side to get a drink of water. He said that the sheep continued to look at that through that fence until they would die of thirst. Interesting. And he said what you had to do there is he had to go in and he had to drive those sheep out of the one pen and into the next pen and over to the water. You know, he gave another example of sheep before the shearing. And this is something that is interesting. He said that they sometimes roll around in the mud and they get so filled up with dirt and mud that they actually become really, really heavy. And he said that if a sheep walks out into a pond and actually goes down deep enough to where it's over his head, its head, that the sheep will stand there and die. When they could walk out, but they would stand there not realizing they can't breathe water, and they would just die. And so he says the sheep are just too dumb to live without a shepherd. And when you think about this, this is why shepherds are people and not sheep. This is why shepherds are people, not sheep. We need to understand this because it's very integral to the lesson today. The idea of Jesus being the shepherd. Shepherds lead the sheep. Shepherds guide and protect. Shepherds feed. But sheep, they can't do that themselves. In fact, what you will always see as a shepherd, what you will never see is this. You'll never see a sheep shepherding the sheep. It just can't happen. Now listen, Solomon wrote, and this is important. He said, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Listen, when we believe that as a people, we just got it all together. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. I don't need the Word of God. I've got it all together. My heart tells me what to do. I'm going to follow my heart and I'm going to be right all the time and I don't need you, God, or anyone. That's a fool. And yet that's the way most men today in the world think. You know, Proverbs chapter 118 and verse 8. Solomon, pretty wise man, he said it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in men. We need to understand that when it comes to this lesson. In Psalm 146 and at verse 3, Solomon also wrote, "Do not put your trust in princes, in the leaders of this world, nor in the son of man, whom there is no help." We cannot help ourselves. We cannot, in the spiritual sense, lead ourselves out of trouble. Without Jesus, the shepherd, without His help, without the Word of God, without the Spirit of God, we're going to stand there until we drown. We're going to stand there looking at what's really good and righteous, and we're not going to get there. We're just going to look at it from afar. And so it's important to understand Jesus as the good shepherd. And I give you two reasons here to think about. And number one, we are all like sheep, Isaiah says, right? Look at what it says. If you're filling in the card, are you listening cards? Look what it says. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. You remember what Solomon wrote? You remember those things? Listen, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And it's referring to every man, every woman, every young person with the ability to understand the difference between right and wrong. All of us have gone astray. Everyone needs a shepherd in this life. And we praise God that we have that shepherd. If you'll allow him, the good shepherd will lead you. He'll lead you in the paths of righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 42 and at verse 16, "I will bring the blind by the way that he did not know." Jesus was prophesied to come into the world and lead the people who just don't understand, the people who are blind, in a way that they have known, in a path they have not known. "I will make darkness into light," he says, "before them, the crooked pathways or places, that he'll make them straight." This is what Jesus can do for us. And this is what no man can do for us. Jeremiah chapter 3 and at verse 19. You know, Jeremiah, "They shall come weeping with supplications, and I will lead them. I will lead them. I will cause them to walk to rivers of water in a straight path, straight way. And they won't stumble." That's what the shepherd will do. He'll keep you from going into that water over your head. And he'll guide you on that straight path. And he, the Lamb of God, Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, he's the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne. Will the shepherd, he will shepherd us and lead us to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Isn't that awesome? That's why we need Jesus. We need the good shepherd in order to do that. Secondly, if we're unwilling to be led, and this applies to every Christian, of course it applies to those outside of the faith, but every person, if you're unwilling to be led, Christianity is not for you. In other words, you can't become a Christian by obeying the gospel, show up to services every time the door is open, but be unwilling to be taught, unwilling to learn, unwilling to make changes in your life. You know, we all have masters, don't we? We all have masters. First Peter, look at that with me. Just, we'll glance through there. You know, First Peter, he talks about these masters. First Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. He says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." We all have a master. In fact, we're all servants. We're all slaves to sin, or we're slaves to righteousness. Romans chapter 6. And he says, for this is commendable if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, it is commendable before God. And if you look at verse 21, for to this you were called because Christ also suffered. He gave Himself for His sheep. He's the one that committed no sin, the Scripture says in verse 22. He was reviled, and He did not return that. He suffered, and He didn't threaten. He who bore our sins in His own body, the Shepherd, that we might live for righteousness. By His stripes we were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the Shepherd, the Overseer of your souls. Now think about this with me. We all need a shepherd, and we all really need to be led. But we can be led by many things. You can be led by your education, your scholastic upbringing. Of course, they're the ones that say that there's such a thing as evolution, no such thing as creation. And that's true. And when you think about that, you can also be led by your parents. Here's a young child on the screen. It's just sickening. And I don't know for sure if this woman in the background is the mother, but she's pretty happy here. But that child's holding up a sign saying, "Hail Satan, abort everyone." People are raised up by parents that are evil and good. You know, here's some young people. These young ladies, they can't be more than 15, 16 years old. And they're being taught all about abortion, how important it is. And this young lady, abortion isn't a necessary evil, it's great. Mocking God. These young people were brought up by their parents. If you're unwilling to be led, Christianity is not for you. And then you think about this, no matter what station you are in life, or what station rather you watch in life, like the news, the television, the magazines that you read, the newspapers, there's always confusion with man. One newscaster, they wrote that the President Trump is wrong in so many ways about hydrochloroquine. Then they came right out just a couple months later and said, study finds hydrochloroquine can help coronavirus patients survive better. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. It makes no difference. It makes a difference. We're making headway. It's a confusing world. When you follow men and take your eyes off of the shepherd, you're going to be led in all kinds of directions, and all you get from that is confusion. Isaiah chapter 9 at verse 16, he says, for the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. That's what happens. We need to be careful. Even your peers can become your masters. How many young people today are afraid to speak up the truth that they were taught in a church setting because of their peers? How many college campuses are having what they call safe zones where you're not allowed to talk about controversial things? How many young people today are literally afraid to have conversations? And how many young people today are just listening to their peers and not to wisdom? You know, you remember Rehoboam in 1 Kings chapter 12. You remember what happened to him? He becomes king and he goes to the elders and he asks advice about how to deal with the people. And they gave him good advice, but what did he do? He rejected that advice. And then he turned and he went to the young men that he grew up with. And he trusted their advice and see where it got him. The people rejected him. Rehoboam, you know, he sent Hadoram to the people of Israel to collect. And you know what happened? They stoned him to death. And then Rehoboam mounted his chariot and he made haste and fled Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 or 10 in verse 18. A shepherd, the shepherd Jesus, he taught a parable that is really good for us to look at. Luke chapter 6, verse 39 and 40. If you remember here that Jesus is teaching a lesson about blind leading the blind. And he does it by asking two questions. He says, can the blind lead the blind? You remember that little joke that we had a few weeks back in a sermon about the blind man that was standing on a corner waiting to cross the busy, busy street, and he noticed somebody come up beside him, and he asked that man beside him, would you help me, lead me across the street? And the man said, sure, certainly. And so they got arm in arm and they both walked across the street. They heard screeching tires, burning rubber. They smelled horns blowing, people cursing all over the place. They got to the other side and the blind man said, why were those people doing that? And the other guy says, I don't know, I'm blind. Can the blind lead the blind? The other question that he asks is, will they not both fall into the ditch? And Jesus gives an answer. What is his answer? A disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. If your teacher is a man, you can't rise above that. If the person is guiding you in this life, you'll be guided by that person, good or bad. But you can't rise above that person. They can't take you above where they are. And so we need Jesus. We need a shepherd that can raise us up, spiritually give us life, eliminate the possibility of eternal death, and guide us to righteousness and a life that is far more exceeding than anything in this world. Anything this world, rather, can offer. We're all sheep. We have to admit that. We all have to admit that we're all being led, either by man or by God. And if we're unwilling to be led by the shepherd, we will be led by man. And if you are led by man, you'll be led away from eternity with God and into eternity where all men will go apart from Christ. We can't be naive. We cannot be naive. If you say you don't need Jesus, that is fine. You can make that decision on your own. But don't be naive and say you don't need a shepherd. You don't need somebody to lead you. Because the fact is, you do. You need somebody to lead you in the right path, the straight path, to the good pasture. And that's Jesus. Without the shepherd, we tend to go into different directions. You see that in the world today. Today is never a better time for Christians to stand up, go out into the world and talk to people about confusion. Even young people, they recognize something is wrong and we can show them what's wrong. Sheep need a shepherd. And the shepherd's role is not easy. And there are reasons why we need Jesus, literally, to be the good shepherd. You know. And when I say we, every man, woman, child. And the reasons are many. But, you know, the greatest reason is because there's a wolf out there. You see, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. There's a wolf out there, and that wolf wants to devour you. He wants you to follow him. He wants you to follow his ministers. He wants you to follow his teaching, his doctrine. And he spreads that all over the world. And the only way to know the difference is to look to the Good Shepherd through the Word of God, to be able to discern good and evil by the righteousness of God. And that wolf, of course, is the devil. We read in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, what is that devil doing? He's out there roaming about, seeking to devour who he may. And we're defenseless against him without Jesus, without the shepherd. We're like sheep out in the field, and the dogs and the wolves and the lions and so on, they just have their will with us. And you know what? Here's something important. There is nothing as powerful as Jesus to protect you in this world against the evil spirit, against the devil, against that wolf in sheep's clothing. Nothing. All the weapons in the world cannot protect you. The most powerful tanks of war, the jets that fly through the air at supersonic speeds and have powerful guns and cannons and guided laser-guided missiles, great ships in the ocean that with tremendous power, even the nuclear power that man has put together, and they think he's so strong, so powerful. And the fact is, there's only one powerful enough who can save you from the power of the enemy of your soul. And that one is Jesus, the Good Shepherd. He's the only one. He's the only one that sees the pathway clearly. Remember, he's omniscient. He's omnipotent and omnipresent. He's all-powerful, more than the tanks and the jets and the ships and the guided missiles and the nuclear or atom bomb, whatever. He's more powerful than anything that we could ever imagine or manufacture. The Good Shepherd. And when the Scripture speaks of Him, especially in the Old Testament, speaks metaphorically, it notes who He is. He's described as the right way. And when we think about that, you know, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. He can do that. You realize that I weigh 240 plus or minus pounds. And I would challenge the strongest man in this room to carry me for a long way. You wouldn't get very far till your legs gave out, your arms gave out, your breath gives out. Jesus can carry you all the way through life. He's the one who said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavily laden and labored, and I will give you rest." Why? Because you take that yoke that He has upon you, He'll guide you and He'll carry you along. He'll give you strength you didn't know you had. And the first thing we need to learn is that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, that by necessity, that term, the Good Shepherd, means that He has sheep. You, who are members of the church, are His sheep. The world out there that He came and died for that doesn't even believe in Him. The world that in Isaiah chapter 50 at verse 6, He turned His back to them. He gave His cheeks to them. They plucked the hair out of His cheeks. He loves everyone. He's willing to be your shepherd no matter who you are. No matter where you're at. All of us need the Good Shepherd. Why? Because we no longer can be going our way. We need to follow His way. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to His own way. Remember what Mr. Waddington said there when we think about sheep and the good shepherd. And we must understand that we're just not that smart. We're not that strong. We're not that powerful. But He truly is. Sometimes, even of myself, I've thought, boy, I'm just dumber than dirt. You know, when you spend a lot of time and you do something really hard, and you every effort you pour into this to realize it was the dumbest move you ever made. We're like sheep. And you know what? When we fall, this is true about sheep. I read this also, that sometimes a sheep will fall and it can't get up. I don't understand, but it can't get up. I guess it's top heavy. And they need help. We need help. Sometimes we fall and we just can't get up on our own. And we need Jesus. We need the Word of God. We need the hand of God working in our lives. The power of Jesus. That's what we need. We're like sheep. And without Jesus, spiritually, we will not survive. In the end, we will not survive. We will not survive the judgment. And Jesus isn't just a shepherd, by the way. He is, of course, the good shepherd. And we need to be led. We need to be led. And understand this, the reason is because there are bad shepherds. We're all being led. Parents, media, teachers, peers, we're all being led. And so we need to be led in the right direction. We need to recognize the need in this world for the good shepherd in our lives. Look at verse 21 in your scriptures today. What does he say? He says, others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And you know why he said that? Because other people are accusing Jesus of having a demon, telling him, don't listen to him. Does that sound familiar? That sound like the world out there? Like some of the higher educations? Don't listen to that. Don't listen to the Word of God. Don't believe all that stuff. It's just myths. Stories. You know why we believe it? Because nobody else can open the eyes of the blind. Without Jesus, you're blind. You go back to chapter 9. Remember chapter 9? The healing of the blind man? What was it that the shepherds, in other words, the leaders, the Pharisees, when they confronted this blind, what did they say to that blind man? John chapter 9 verse 34. What did they say? Do you remember that? At the end of that verse, they cast him out. In this world, that's the trouble you're going to run into when you put all your trust in any man. At some point in time, there's a good chance they're going to cast you out. Your employer, you have a difference of opinion, they can cast you out. Your friends become unfriended when you say something on Facebook that they don't like, that they don't agree with. And it goes on and on and on and on. In this world, even the best of friends can cast out another friend. A parent can cast out a child. And so on and so on. When was the first time / last time you ever heard of a shepherd kicking out a sheep? I hope you're seeing something here. The good shepherd doesn't cast you out. The bad shepherd will cast you out. He'll throw you away. He'll claim you as being worthless. Isn't that what people do? You're not educated enough. You're too weak. You're too old. Or it's very common today when you're a person who believes and practices the Christian faith, you're going to be cast out by many. It's not true with Jesus. Not true with the shepherd. Everyone. He knows by name. Think about that. The story of the nameless lamb, a friend, he says, how can you kill and eat that cute little lamb? And the shepherd says, well, it's easy. We just don't name them. Then we kill them and eat them. And the friend says, well, he wasn't satisfied with that answer. And he says, but what about your own kids? Trying to make a comparison. And the shepherd says, well, yeah, we name them. That's the way it is. But listen to what Jesus, the one good shepherd, knows his flock. Verse 3. Do you see it? He says, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. You remember that God placed all the stars in the heavens and gave them all names? You think it's a big thing that God can know your name? Every name of every person upon the face of the earth, He does. And He knows who are His. Verse 14, He says, I am the good. You see it? Fill in the blank. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. And I am known by my own. Verse 27. He answered and said, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You also want to become my disciples. And verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I was reading John chapter 9. I turned there a second ago. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They know. You know, in Luke chapter 15, we can learn some things. That Jesus, the shepherd, He's intimate. He knows your desires. He knows your hurts. He knows your needs. He knows your personal troubles. That's true about the good shepherd. And He doesn't throw you out. He doesn't cast you aside. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He doesn't leave you home, helpless or hopeless. And you think about that today. The good shepherd does something different. You know, there's a man out there has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost. And what does the good shepherd do? He leaves the 99 and he goes out and finds the one. You're the one. Jesus is looking for you. And when he finds you, he rejoices. And he comes home and he calls all his friends and his neighbors and he says, I found my sheep, which was lost. But notice what he says in verse 7 there. You see, he says, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner, one lost sheep, who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. You know, we think about this and we realize that Jesus is the one who lays us upon His shoulders when we need to be carried. When He finds the one that's just in so much distress and strife, so confused, so lost, and He'll come and He'll put you on His shoulders and He'll carry you, rejoicing. He knows your intimate secrets. He knows and realizes what you need more than you yourself. No matter what our flaws are, Jesus can deal with it. Come to Jesus. He'll carry your burdens. And unlike people, the shepherd knows it all. The good shepherd, he fills his flock. In other words, he'll give you what you need, the food, the clothing, the food, clothing, and everything you need. The food, the clothing, and the shelter. John chapter 6. He'll give it to you all. Look at verse 10. Think about what he says there. The thief does not come except to steal and kill. That's the people of this world that want to shepherd you and destroy. But he says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? More abundantly. He's going to give you what no one else can give you. He knows. He knows. You know, worry is rooted in one question. Can God meet all my needs? Do you believe that everything that you need for an abundant life can be made available? Well, yes, Jesus said that. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still pastures. He makes me lie down in green. He leads me beside the still waters and makes me lie down in green pastures. That's what He'll do. And all I need is that shepherd. Don't fear, little flock, Jesus said. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He'll give you what you need. Lastly, the good shepherd, he protects his flock. You know what he does? He puts them in a protection. And then what he does is he'll sit at the door. Right there. You see that? He just sits there. He's not there. He is there. He protects you. He's the door. He's the one that keeps all that out that wants to devour you. He's sitting at the door. And because of Him, we can have a sense of security. Do you have a sense of security? Is it in the Lord? He's the door. Think about that. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. You think about the Bible. My sheep hear my voice. That's the promise. Are you hearing His voice today? You know, He'll never let go. He'll never stop trying till all comes to an end. That powerful Jesus, more powerful than anything in this world, He'll never stop trying. He'll never allow you, if you're a part of His body, to be snatched by. There's nothing in this world powerful enough to take you from the shepherd. In Romans chapter 8, we read these words. Beginning in verse 3, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any height or depth, nor other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Think about that. Jesus has the power. In Romans chapter 5 and at verse 8, God demonstrated His love towards us that while we were yet still in our sins, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. He died to be your shepherd. He died so that you could find that doorway that leads to heaven. And when the Scripture says He died for us, we talked about it at the table this morning. We talked about Him being brutally beaten, scourged, bloodied, hanging on a cross, and died. The spear was thrust into His side and the blood poured out. Jesus wants you to hear His voice. Today, if you have need today, if you have not obeyed the gospel, today is the right day. If you have sin in your life and you need to repent and confess that sin and be restored, today is the day that the shepherd is here. And He wants you. So whatever you need today, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.